श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदमयं ददाति स्वापदन्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपां साकृजाथाहं सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं ठं सजीवं सद्वैतं सावधूतं हरिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपतान् सहकना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिकाकान्ता राधाकान्ता नमोस्तुते तप्तकाञ्चना गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रियै वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां भावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासति गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे जे राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन पल्लव गिरिवर धारी जे राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन पल्लव गिरिवर धारी यशोदानन्दन व्रज जन रञ्जन यशोदानन्दन व्रज जन रञ्जन जमुना थीरा पनचारी जमुना थीरा पनचारी जे राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन पल्लव गिरिवर धारी Chedadhamadhavakunjabihari Gopi Janapallava Giddhivadadari Yasoda Nandana Prachachana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Prachachana Ranjana Jamuna Chira Panachari Jamuna Chira Panachari Jeradha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Pallava Kidi Varadari Jeradha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Pallava Kidi Varadari Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
I welcome you to Radharani and Gopinath's Flower Festival. I'll try to speak briefly. We have very special guests today. His Holiness Dhanadhar Swami Maharaj. We have Robin from Hollywood and Wes and Julie. Will you stand up, please? He's already standing. Let us welcome everyone as a We have from Taiwan, Eka Chakra Prabhu and Janavi Devi. And how many people have come? And we have Padma Devi, Sharon Gannon, who brought, along with Jewels, have brought 50 students and teachers from all over planet Earth. Ten times louder, please. We have Patrick and Chaitanya Ras with a group from Germany. There's 60 devotees from Ukraine. And my worshipable god sister Jagat Tarini Devi. Worshipable God Brother Narottamananda Prabhu. And Sridharji. The founder of Bhakti Fest, the largest kirtan festival in the Western world. An incredible celestial kirtan dancer. Please stand up. From Chicago, Jai Jagannath Prabhu. And so many others who I have not remembered, but to all of you. So first I'd like to explain how this festival came about. In the Vedas, the Puranas, the Mahabharata, the Ramayana, there's many stories of Ram, Krishna, different avatars. When they're coming to a place, they're showered with flowers. It's a way of welcoming. So, on the calendar, the bhakti calendar, there's many holy days. And on the full moon night of January, there's a festival called Pushyabhishek. Now in Sanskrit, the word flower is pushpa. Now, Janmashtami, Radhashtami, Ramnomi, we offer so many different offerings of love through liquid bathing of the deities. But when I saw this, I thought Pushyabhishek must mean Pushpa Abhishek, which means we bathe Krishna with and Radha with flowers. So we started doing that here. And it became the most popular festival. Thousands of people were coming, and other temples started doing it. The flower Abhishek, Pushpa Abhishek. And it became so loved by everyone and such a tradition until I found out this month, according to the Vedic calendar, is called the month of Paush or Posh. And Pushya Abhishek means the Abhishek of liquids in the month of January. So due to my lack of knowing Sanskrit, we invented this festival. Anyways, at least I'm willing to confess. But as far as it being authorized, there are so many instances of Krishna being bathed with flowers, so we can do it anytime, so why not on this day? So Krishna, by his own sweet will, created a wonderful festival by covering someone with the cloud of mistake. But sometimes mistakes could create beautiful truths. Now we'd like to discuss the philosophical principle behind this. In the Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, 26th verse, Krishna tells, Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachchati taraham bhakti paharitam asnami prayatatmana. If one offers me with love and devotion even a leaf, a fruit, a little water or a flower, I will accept it. This is the basic principle of bhakti. Srila Prabhupada, my Gurudev, gave an analogy. If you offer somebody some really nice food, and that person is really full, will they enjoy it? They can't, because they have no appetite. You can only enjoy food if you have an appetite. Well, it describes in Ishopanishad, Om Purnam Ada Purnam Idam, that the Absolute Truth is Purnam. That means he's completely, perfectly full. Sarvalokameshwaram. The Gita says that the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Lord or Krishna, is the proprietor of everything that exists. And it describes in the Bhagavatam that the Absolute Truth or Krishna is Atmarama. That means he's totally self-satisfied. He's not in need of anything because he's the source of everything. He's the proprietor of everything. He is everything through his energies. So, because Krishna is so full, what appetite does he have? But the Lord, by his own eternal sweet nature, is forever hungry for love. How many of you here, be honest, are hungry for love? Say Hari Bol loudly if. Is there any hunger that's deeper and more profound than the hunger for love? Most songs all over the world because music is an expression of people's consciousness, is it not? People sing about either their love for someone, the happiness of their love for someone, or the agony, the misery of their lost love, or their yearning for love. Ah, nice. He's come from Casablanca. That's in Morocco. Anandamayo Vyashad, everyone is seeking pleasure, and the origin of that pleasure-seeking nature is the heart's yearning to love and to be loved. And where is the origin of that? The origin is in the origin of everything. Janmadyasa yataha. The absolute truth is from whom everything originates in its purest, most ecstatic state. So the soul's nature to love comes from God's nature to love. The soul's nature to be loved originates in God's nature to be loved. Srila Prabhupada wrote that Krishna doesn't need anything from anyone. When we offer something to the Lord doesn't accept the thing, but Lord accepts the intent in which it is offered. In other words, the love. And the example is given of the river Ganga, or Ganges. It originates at Gomukh, comes down through Gangotri, and then through thousands of miles it flows through Hardwar and Rishikesh, Uttarkashi, and then it goes down to Prayag, and the Yamuna begins in the glacier of Yamunotri and comes all the way down through the Himalayas and meets Ganga at Prayag, and then they both become Ganga, and then they keep flowing. How much water is there? But yet, it is a tradition that has been followed since time immemorial. And even today, hundreds and thousands, millions of people every day are going to the Ganges on pilgrimage, or they live there, and they take their bath, and then submerged halfway, they take a palmful of water. And with love, they say, Mother Ganga, I offer this to you. Now we're taking it from her. She doesn't. Is she losing anything when we take a palmful from her? And when we offer it back, are we giving her something that she doesn't have? But yet Mother Ganga is conquered by the love in which it's offered. A parent, if a child gives a gift of love, it's not that the child needs your flower. I mean, the parent needs your flower. But if it's offered with love, it gives them great happiness because they're hungry for the love of their children. So this is bhakti. The verse in the Gita tells that a leaf, a flower, a little water or a fruit, anyone could offer that. We may say that why do we have to go through the physical ritual of making an offering if we love anyway? Because what meaning does love have if you don't express it? After all, we have senses like eyes and tongues and ears, and we have a body, and we have wealth, and we have influence, and we have intelligence. If we actually have love, what is its depth if we don't express it through everything that we have? As a Swami, I never had a girlfriend. But I've met countless people who have boyfriends and girlfriends. And countless people who have husbands and wives. And one of the biggest problems, which always seems to be unique to the people who are going through the problem, is when their spouse doesn't care about me. And I talked to the spouse. I said, "Do you care about her or him?" "Oh, yes, I care." It's usually the men that are like this. That's my experience. Maybe I'm prejudiced against men, but that's just the way I am. I said, "Do you care about her?" He said, "I care about her. Do you love her?" "I love her." "Well, do you ever tell her or give her anything or express it?" He says, "She should already know it." It's not the way it works. Love is expressed. And the rituals of all the great religions of the world are actually ways of expressing our intent to please God, to love God. And through making that expression, we actually develop that love in the beginning stages. And yeyatamam prapadyante tams tataiva bhajamya. Krishna reciprocates with our intent. If we offer love, Krishna, who loves us unlimitedly, infinitely, Sri Radha loves us, the feminine power of Krishna, loves us infinitely, eternally, like the shining sun. It's not that the rays are partial to anyone. But if we hide in a hole, then the rays that are meant for us, we just don't appreciate. We have to come out and expose ourselves. So bhakti is the process of simply exposing ourselves from the darkness of our egoistic, selfish tendencies to actually be bathed in the light of Krishna Sri Radha's infinite love. And the way we expose ourselves is by expressing our intent to love. Yat karoshi, yad ashnasi, yad johoshi tatasyat. The next verse after 927 of the Gita is whatever you do, whatever you have, whatever you know how, what your intelligence, your abilities, your influence, offer it to me with love. And you'll be liberated from all sufferings. You'll be liberated from birth and death. And what is that liberation? To taste the sweetness of that love, our love, and God's love. That is lila, where all of our actions for all of eternity, the eternal soul, is reciprocating that love. A flower is one of the unlimited miracles of this world. If we think about it, just a little seed. What does a seed look like? It doesn't have a fragrance, really. It's just little, usually brown or something. It doesn't have much of a fragrance. And you put it in the earth, and it grows into a flower. And each flower has its own color, its own fragrance, its own texture, its own shape. It's a miracle. Whether it's Microsoft or Apple or anyone else, they cannot create a flower. They can make pictures of flowers. They can make 3D animations of flowers, but they don't have a fragrance or the texture of a flower. They don't grow. And their little pictures cannot create other flowers. flower is a miracle. Every tree is a miracle. The planets are miracles. Every living being is a miracle. Whatever we see in this world is a miracle. To appreciate that miracle. And to appreciate the creator, the artist of that miracle. Srila Prabhupada was walking along the Pacific Ocean and there was a sunset that was so beautiful. And some devotees said to my Gurudev, "Isn't that a beautiful sunset?" And Srila Prabhupada smiled. He said, "If you think the art is beautiful, you should see the artist." And then he quoted from Bhagavad Gita that all the incredible, wonderful things in the entire universal creation are just a spark of my splendor. So when we appreciate the love of God in everything, then we see. We don't see those things, "How could I enjoy it?" But how can I make it an offering of my love to my beloved? And there's no disqualification on any material level for anyone to be able to do that. Whether one is rich or poor, literate or illiterate, strong or weak, old or young, whatever one's caste, nationality, religion, everyone could offer a leaf or a flower with love. And that's all that's required to perfect our life if it is done with sincerity, with a simple heart. May I offer a few scriptural examples of this? First, a contemporary example. One of our very beloved God sisters, Yamuna Devi, she just passed away last year. She's an incredible person. She was an embodiment and a personification of deep wisdom steeped in bhakti or love. She sang so sweetly. George Harrison of the Beatles, when the Beatles were at their peak, used to disguise himself to go to this little underground counterculture hippie nightclub called the Art Lab in London to hear her sing. And later he said, your devotion in your voice mesmerized me. Later she also wrote a cookbook, which was the number one cookbook of the year. Later she went to live in Vrindavan. And among the ashram, there were 7 men in her. And she went there in the summer. And the average temperature was 120 degrees Fahrenheit, which is every day, and not much different at night. And her only real friend was a lady named Jive Sarojini. She lived in a little tiny cubicle next to this ancient temple of Radha Damodar. And she was a widow in her late 60s. She just had one white sari that was so old that it was gray, even though she washed it every day. But Prabhupada said something about her, because Prabhupada used to live there. He said every morning, even though she had no money, she had no family, she had no education, she would go to the river Yamuna and get a little bucket of water from the river and bring it for Krishna and Radha. With such sincerity. Srila Prabhupada, who was a great scholar, a great saint, a person who brought bhakti to the whole world, he took such note of this little unknown widow lady. He said, she is going back to Godhead. Her life is perfect. She has achieved the perfection of yoga. Because she has such simple, sincere love in her heart. If you go to the temple in Udupi, of Udupi Krishna, it's a very famous temple. It's about 800 years old, South India. There are many ancient paintings on the wall. And I'd like to tell you the story of one painting. It's a very, very popular pastime of the Lord. When Krishna was living in Dwarka, he was living as a prince with big, big palaces, and he had queens. And one was Satyabhama. One time, Narada Muni, the great sage, it's a long story, but I'll make it really short. He decided to take Krishna away with him to go to the heavens. And Satyabhama was, no, no, you cannot take Krishna. But Krishna said, I must go with my devotee. So she said, no, we will not. We cannot live without you. You must stay. So Narada Muni said, what is Krishna worth? He said, I'll put Krishna on a scale, and you give the very, very best you have, and I'll use it all for my own devotional purposes, for the welfare of all humanity. You put everything on a scale, and if you could balance it with Krishna's weight, then you could have Krishna, and I'll take all your jewels. So she brought a whole treasure chest of diamonds and rubies and sapphires and emeralds and gold and silver and started putting more and more and more and more on the scale. But the more she put on the scale, the more Krishna was going down. And the jewels were going up. And she put everything she had. Probably billions of dollars of jewels she put, and Krishna was getting heavier and the jewels were going up. And then she called other princesses and other queens, and they all put all their jewels on it. And nothing happened. So finally, they went to Rukmini, who's an expansion of Sri Radha. And she went to Narada Muni and said, I have something that has even more weight than Krishna. He's always conquered by one who chants his name with love. So I will chant his name with love. But Narada Muni said, but the name of God is a transcendental sound vibration. You can't put it on the scale. It's a good argument. So Rukmini took one leaf from a tulsi plant. And first she said, get all the jewels off the scale. And it was just a clean scale, and Krishna was like that, and it was empty. She took one tulsi leaf, one leaf, and she chanted the name of Krishna with love. Placed it on the scale, and the leaf went, and Krishna went flying up. Because he wanted to show that there is no treasure of higher value in God's eyes than our love. And that love comes from a simple heart that has no duplicity, that simply wants to please the Lord. In the Mahabharata, Krishna went with a message to somehow or other stop the fighting between the Pandavas and the Kurus. He was doing everything he doesn't interfere with our independence, but he gives us good directions. And then it's up to us whether we want to accept them or reject them. That's an eternal reality. Because without free will, how could there be love? True love, deep love, real love. So Duryodhana was very selfish, very arrogant, very greedy. He was trying to usurp the Pandavas' property. In fact, he already did. He insulted them. He tried to murder them. And Krishna was coming just to say, just give them a little piece of land and they will serve you forever. But don't exploit everything from them. When he went, Duryodhana, who was the king, arranged a magnificent feast of incredible foods. But Krishna said, I will not eat your food because you are unkind to others. You don't have compassion. You don't have love. I don't need your food. However expertly and ornamentally it is prepared. And he went to Vidura's house. And according to the legend, Vidura didn't even know he was coming, and he wasn't even home, and his wife was there. And all of a sudden, Krishna comes. And, what can I offer you? Krishna said, I'm hungry. So she had a banana. And according to some great poets, she was so nervous that she peeled the banana and threw the banana out and gave Krishna the peel. And he ate it. And he was absolutely, completely satisfied because she offered it with love. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, tasting the sweetness of Radha's love. At one, he was in the role of a devotee to teach by his example how to please Krishna by being a devotee. Because who knows better how to please Krishna by being a devotee than Radha? And Lord Chaitanya is Krishna in the mood of Radha to teach us by his life. But on a special occasion, he actually manifested his supremacy as God, just to make his devotees happy. And he sat on the altar in the house of Srivas. And the kinds of people are there, the greatest enlightened yogis, the greatest scholars, the greatest acharyas or teachers and gurus, people who had fabulous yogic powers, knowledge. There were avatars there. Adwaita, Nityananda. There was Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who was an extremely wealthy man. They were all making their offerings to Lord Chaitanya. And they were bringing water from the Ganges among their offerings. And there was a simple little lady. Her name was Duki. Duki was coming from a poverty-stricken family. She just worked as a very menial maidservant. She had no education. Do you know what dukkhi means? It means one who is miserable. It's like a superstition kind of in India in those days, 5 centuries ago, that if a parent, if they're really in poverty and they have no means to take care of their children, and the child's born and they really have nothing to give them except, you know, whatever love they have, they feel so sorry for their little baby, they name them Dukkhi, the miserable one. The idea is that if I name her the miserable one, then destiny may feel sorry for her and give her some happiness. That was her condition. She didn't want anything. She was just taking the little pots of water from the river and bringing them and putting them in lines so that somebody could pick it up and give it to somebody else who'd give it to somebody else who would offer it to the Lord with love. And she was way in the background. And it wasn't she was raising her hand and saying, "Lord Chaitanya, look, I'm doing this." She was just very quietly, very humbly, totally unnoticed by anyone, just, you know, carrying the water and putting it down, and it was passed through 3-4 people before the Lord got it. And Lord Chaitanya was just looking at Dukkhi. And he asked his devotee Srivas, "Who is this lady?" He said, "Her name is Dukkhi, the miserable one." And Lord Chaitanya said, "But she's so humble. She's just trying to help everyone else in their devotion. She doesn't want anything for herself. The name Dukkhi, I don't like it. It doesn't fit in my heart. On this day, I rename her Sukhi, which means the happy one." And when he gave her that name, instantly, ecstatic love of God awakened in her heart, and she was weeping tears of ecstasy forevermore. And from that point on, everyone understood she had the greatest wealth of everyone. Patram pushpam palam toyam. She just offered a little water with love. And there's a famous story of Hanuman. When Ram was building the bridge, of course, across the Indian Ocean to Sri Lanka from Rameshwaram, there's parts of the bridge are still there today. If you go in a boat, you can see it. So, by Ram's power, when they chanted the name of the Lord, whatever they put down floated. So Hanuman was taking the peaks of mountains, which were millions of pounds and gigantic. He was just lifting them because he was so divinely strong. And it's not that he was a weightlifter and all that stuff. Where did he get his strength from? Padma and I were discussing this the other day. Utsaha means enthusiasm. Lolyam means intense eagerness. He had such eagerness and enthusiasm to please Ram, to serve Ram. It was that enthusiasm that Ram reciprocated and gave him incredible, unbelievable intelligence and strength to serve, because he had such enthusiasm to serve. It's like sometimes we see temples of Hanuman where he's covered with red. That's his enthusiasm. It's described that one time Hanuman saw Sita putting this red powder in the part in the middle of her hair. And Hanuman asked, why are you doing that? Because he's a brahmachari. He doesn't know why women do all these things. That means he's a monk. So Sita said, because it pleases Ram when I do this. So he went and got like large quantity and totally covered every particle of his body with that same red powder. And Ram asked, what are you doing? And he said, well, Sita said that just putting a little on her hair pleases you, so I want to please you so much, I'm going to cover myself eternally with this stuff if that's what pleases you. So that was his enthusiasm. So he was carrying mountains and putting them on the ocean, and they were floating. And as he was carrying a mountain, there was a little spider. And he was just a regular spider. He wasn't like a mystical, supernatural spider. He was just a little spider. An ordinary, day-to-day spider. And he was, with his little legs, kicking some sand to put on the bridge. And he was in front. Hanuman had to stop, because Hanuman practices ahimsa, even though he does so many things to protect Dharma. He wouldn't step on a spider. He said, please move aside. I have a mountain. And the spider says, but I have my grain of sand. And Ram said to Hanuman, he is doing as much as you are. In my eyes, in God's eyes, that little spider is doing everything he can with a grain of sand, and you're doing everything you can with a mountain, so it is equal. It is the love, the devotion, the sincerity of our intent that is true bhakti. That actually God is hungry for. When it comes from the heart. So today, hundreds of devotees were plucking flowers. How many of you plucked flowers today? You'll be happy to know that you plucked 1.5 tons, 3,000 pounds of flowers. And there are 11 varieties of flowers, which I'm not going to read. But hundreds of pounds came today by the help of a dear friend, Mahim Swami and Shobha Swami, they actually helped to arrange something we could never do before like this. A fresh stock of hundreds of pounds of roses from Vrindavan. They came today afternoon, so they're very fresh. From the heart, the idea of this festival is we could all participate together in offering our love expressed through the flowers. Those who organize the festival, those who ship the flowers, those who paid for the flowers, those who plucked the flowers, and soon, if I ever end this lecture, soon all those flowers of the petals of Every one of us, all colors, unity and diversity. It's so beautiful when there's different colors and different fragrances and different shapes. And this is the beauty of life. That God has created different species and different races and different sexes and different social backgrounds, but we all come together. There were millionaires, there were simple farmers, there were PhDs, there were dropouts like me. There were old and young, parents, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and everyone's just sitting on the same little mats, plucking the same flowers. We all become one because we have a common purpose of love, where there's nothing to be proud of. I didn't see anyone saying, "I am plucking more petals than you." It wasn't that type of ego or competition. It was just, yes, you are plucking, I am plucking, and Krishna's going to get them all. It's the unity of so many people combining their hearts in such a simple way. And they're all going to be offered to Krishna. 3,000 pounds of flowers. And we'll be singing. And we'll be offering our love through our kirtan. And after Krishna receives all of that love, it becomes prasad. Prasad means divine grace or mercy. Because when Krishna receives, he gives back. And when we receive, we give back. And the best way to give back to Krishna is when we share it with each other. So at the end of this abhishek, or flower bathing ceremony for Krishna, from all of these windows and from everywhere else, all the mahaprasad, all the flowers that have been offered to Krishna, his grace is going to, his prasad will be showered upon us. And we'll have the chance to shower it on each other. And the idea is, we're sharing grace with each other. And this is the real essential formula for peace within our own hearts and within the world. To not try to be the controller, the proprietor, the enjoyer, but seva. To receive gratefully the grace of God and share it with one another. It's a shower of grace. Thank you very much. I'd also like to welcome Susan. Please stand up. It's her first time in India. I've known her for 50 years. I first met her when I was 13 years old. And she happens to be the wife of my elder brother. Let us welcome her to Radha Gopinath. So at this time, Kishore, wonderful to see you. Beautiful to see all of you. Special guests have come from all directions. So at this time, there will be this beautiful shower of flowers, of love for Krishna. And we'll all sing with all our hearts the flowers of our love through the holy names of God, through our intents. And the attribute of love is we love to see our beloved in joy. I'm going to tell you a story. strange story. My grandmother, very traditional Jewish lady, immigrant from Russia, she was in her last stages of life. She was laying in a bed. She was fully conscious, but she couldn't get up or anything. And I went to see her. And I remember she couldn't see me so well because her vision was going. And my father said, "This is your grandson, the Hare Krishna." And she smiled. And she said, "Oh, Hare Krishna." And then she looked at me and she said, "If it makes you happy, it makes me happy." So on every level, the nature of love is we want to see our loved ones happy. So seeing Krishna getting showered with flowers is our great happiness. It's not that we want to be showered with flowers, but still, you're going to get showered with flowers. So let us, with a very grateful, loving heart, chant very sincerely, very enthusiastically, with great love, and enjoy this beautiful festival. Thank you very much.
Abhishek Mahamahotsav ki Kaliyuga Pavan Shri Harinam Sankirtan ki Jai Shri Shyama, Jai Shri Shyama.